Tinley.
You can be seated for offertory this morning. Come on up, Tinley. Carol Doty and Tinley Owens are going to share a song as our offertory, Jesus at the Center. And then Joel will take over for the youth service.
Thank you, Tinley, and thank you, Carol, for that. And we are now going to dismiss our kids to the children's church. And no, we're not dismissing kids at all. No children's church today. They're going to stay. Yeah, okay, that's what you were asking me earlier today. We are not dismissing kids for children's church. Okay, we're good. We're good. So as Pastor Blake mentioned, we were just talking in a staff meeting this past Monday about what happened at camp. And he said, well, camp was a few weeks ago, right? Well, yes, but I've been gone quite a bit since then, and so things have been a little bit crazy. So we were just able to share with staff on Monday what was happening in the lives of our students. And let me just share before some of them come up. By the way, if you're going to share, please come and sit in the front pew so we can kind of get you lined up. And some of them are sharing by themselves. Some of them are going to come up together and share. We're going to have a song in the middle of all this. We're going to have a slideshow in the middle of all this. So this will be a little bit different than your typical Sunday morning message, but there will be a message here this morning. Amen. So, if you pay attention, you might catch what's going on with the message. But we went to youth camp July 14th through 19th. It was our third year. That's right. It was our third year going to Camp Eagle in Rock Springs, Texas. And one One of the things I like about what the camp director there says, first of all, it's 1,400 acres in the middle of hill country with zero cell phone reception. So for 1 week, the students, yeah, amen. That's one of the reasons that we go. For at the beginning of the week, they all just turn in their phones, and I give them back at the end of the week, and we spend a week hiking through the hill country, somewhere around 6 to 8 miles a day. All of our activities are outdoors. The worship's outdoors. The Bible studies are outdoors. Zip lines, mountain climbing, mountain rappelling. I mean, everything we do is outdoors. And so it's a great thing. And this year, Martha asked me at staff meeting, well, was there a theme for camp? Well, the official theme was Encore, which doesn't mean a whole lot to you. They've been going through a seven-year through the Bible, and this was year seven. So they chose Encore to say, hey, this is kind of, this. Let's make this a big deal at the end. But there was a sub-theme that developed, which is what we're really going to focus on this morning. And the sub-theme that developed at camp this year was drop the show and get real. And so just talking about how do we as Christians, how do we as believers walking around this planet, how, you know, what kind of show are we putting on? What kind of masks are we wearing? What kind of false image are we projecting to those around us so that, you know, people will like us or people will think positive things about us, but the whole time they don't ever get to know who we are because we're putting on a show. And so the sub-theme that developed at camp this year was drop the show. And I'm going to say a couple of things. I'm going to add, and then I'll start bringing y'all up. I'm going to ask you, church, I know you already pray for our students, but I'm going to ask you to double down on your prayers for our students, because there was a time at camp this week that our students decided they were going to, as a group, drop the show. And we just got very, very real with one another and had a deep time of personal sharing, confessing of sins, sharing some insecurities, sharing some hopes and some dreams, and made ourselves very vulnerable to one another because we just felt like the Holy Spirit was wanting to move in our lives, and that was the only response that we could give. And so, of course, once a Christian or once a person decides to drop that show and to get real, they become somebody that God can now use more powerfully, and so Satan is automatically going to up his game as well. And so I can just tell you from my own personal experience, especially, you know, we got back from camp, and then our schedule's been just a little bit crazy for the last couple of weeks. These guys and girls up here need your prayers more now than ever, because if they're going to share and if they're going to get serious about God, Satan's going to get serious about them, and we need to just pray every bit of protection over them and encouragement for them. So that was kind of what we're going to focus on this morning. I'm going to ask Macy to come up. She's going to be our first student to share. And I feel if y'all were here when we had Life Action, this was like 10, 12, maybe 13 years ago. I don't know. It's been a while ago. The way we do our testimonies, we're going to follow a few rules. We're going to, first of all, keep it brief. So she's not going to share her whole life story, although I would encourage you to ask her to share her life story with you. And if she wants to, she's got a powerful story. I learned a lot about Macy Jones at camp this week. Thank you, Mom and Dad. But she's going to keep it brief. She's going to keep it specific. What exactly is God at work on at camp and even from camp? And then going to make sure to give honor and glory to God. And then anytime you do come up and share, it's always nice to get some encouragement afterwards. So I'm going to ask two or three ladies in our church when Macy's done to spend some time praying and ministering and encouraging her. And that can be family, it can be students, it can be other adults in their church. But that's how this testimony time is going to go. So all that being said, Macy, you want this mic or you want to just hold on tight and speak from here? All right.
Hi, guys. So, like Joel said, the theme at camp was drop the show. And I feel like a lot of people need to hear that, but especially I did. It was really easy for me in school because I'm involved in a lot of different things. I have a lot of different activities that I do. It's really easy for me to have different personalities with different people because I get worried that they're going to judge me. So in a way, I was kind of living like several different lives because I was interacting differently with different people, and it was really hard. I was not really happy. It's just hard, guys. Like, for example, my church life was not the same as it was at school. And I feel like a lot of people thought that I was just like this godly girl just because I was on the worship team. And to be honest, I was not really focused on God in my life. I was really distant from him, and I wasn't thinking about God every day like I should be. And what I really learned at camp, as they kept on telling us, was that our only true identity is within Jesus Christ, and that we really need to see that we can't be happy unless we live a life with him. And I feel like that really, really spoke to me, and I feel I've just been so much happier since I've gotten home, and it's just so great. I think my parents have noticed. I think my friends have noticed how much happy, and my little brother has noticed how happy I've been lately. It was just so great to go to camp and just realize that anybody can be happy and that God loves you no matter what, and God never judges you. Even though you do horrible things, God loves you no matter what, and it was just so enlightening to me, and I was just so happy to hear that. Thank you.
You know the drill. So now I'm just going to ask if there's a couple of ladies in the congregation that would say, hey, it takes a lot of guts to stand in front of a congregation and say, I haven't been honoring God in my life. So would somebody say, hey, I'd like to spend some time praying and encouraging Macy, students, family, adults? Julie, all right, Mama and Julie. And y'all can just kind of come right over here in this corner. And yeah, May, you can come on up as well. And while they're doing that, I think I'm going to ask Trey if you'll come up next, please, sir. This is one of the cool things for me as our leader was it wasn't just something that God was doing in the lives of our students. Trey's one of our young adults. Matter of fact, I might steal a little bit of your thunder, but in just a couple of weeks, Trey's going to start teaching one of our junior high. He's going to teach our new junior high boys Sunday school class. And so, yeah. So let's hear what you want. You want this mic or you want to hold on tight? All right, go hold on tight.
So for the first thing I want to say is thank you to everyone who helped the students and me as a counselor get to camp. It was something that after camp I realized that it was something a little bit different than what I had seen in other places whenever I went to camp as a youth. It was actually really encouraging. As far as the kids are concerned, I kind of have two pieces because I'm really proud to be able to see their lives change and change significantly from before camp and after camp. Usually you hear a common phrase, like you get fired up at camp or you get that spark and that eventually fizzles out. And I'm really impressed to see that it really hasn't. Beforehand, the kids would be separate in the youth building or wherever they are, and now you see them talking with each other, just fellowshipping with each other during the time that we have for fellowshipping here at church on Sunday, and even on Wednesday, they're so much more interactive with each other. They become more real, and that's something that I'm actually a little bit jealous of because I didn't get to do that whenever I was quite that young. But being able to be part of it now is actually it's actually a real blessing. As far as dropping the show myself from camp, throughout my whole life I've had a hard time letting go. And being able to see the young ones let go in a way that I wanted to, it was able to actually let me kind of be free. I always had a tight grip on everything I wanted to do in life, and God kind of has always asked me to kind of let Him take care of it. He's someone who could always support me, and I just never quite let Him have it all. And being asked to be the junior high boys youth leader, that wasn't really in my plan at all. Neither was going to camp. In fact, as of May, I had lost my job, and I had been looking and trying and searching, and I just hadn't found anything that really worked. But as soon as I kind of dropped the show and let go, on the way back from camp, my phone blew up with an opportunity. And it had actually just been after the time that I was talking with Joel on the way back, saying that if God lets me land an opportunity, I'll go for it. And that instant, my phone came back on, and So I'm following that now, and I'm following with what God wants me to do. So.
Now, I made this point to the students because Trey shared this with us as well, but aren't we glad Trey decided to let God have control before he started teaching our junior high boys instead of, I got this on my own. That wasn't going to work out very well. So, I wonder if there's a couple of young men or any men in our congregation that would just raise your hand. Blue over here, come on up. And you guys can go with Trey right over here on this side and just spend time in prayer. And if anybody else wants to join them, we've got Blue and Travis going to be praying and ministering to Trey right now. Another guy that if you've got some time to hear some cool things about what God is doing in his life, I would encourage you to pull Trey aside and say, you know, let's go get some coffee or have some lunch and tell me what God's up to in your life, because it's pretty cool. So, like I mentioned, this isn't going to be all just talking. There's more than one way to share a testimony. So I'm going to ask Becky Fox to come up. We're going to have a song here in just a minute from some of our students. But Becky is going to come and introduce this song and explain kind of how this came about. And that you're going to see the same testimony is going to come through in the song. It's just a different way of presenting it.
First of all, I'm not singing the song. And you will be glad that I am not singing the song. So, you know, life is just incredible. When we began attending this church a long time ago, Travis and Julie were in the youth group as high school students, and one of my first volunteers was to drive them to youth camp. So y'all have watched Julie and Travis grow up, so here we are. Now I got to share dorm rooms with Julie as an adult sponsor, and Travis, he just kind of gives me grief all the time. But it's wonderful to see the transformation of students from the time they're in middle school and junior high, then to high school, then through college when they take a trip away from us. And then we are blessed to have them come back and then serve as adults, and you get to know them on a whole different level. It's just been incredible. So I got to start going to church camp as Miss Speck. And then I became Mama Fooches. And then I became Aunt Beck. Well, this year I became Granny Beck. So it's been a pleasure. And being Granny Beck and being the oldest person at youth camp comes with a lot of responsibility to take care of Joel and Travis. But anyway, anyway, being in the girls' dorm is just such a blast. So there was Connie and I in one room with 12 girls, and Julie was over. We got so large this year that we had to have a new room in an overflow with 4 girls. So you get to see and you get to learn so much about these kids as they unpack their suitcases, as they throw their clothes around, and who is clean and who is messy and who is this and who is that. But what you also get to hear are their conversations and their voices. And we have some incredibly talented, talented youth. The singing that took place as they were doing their hair and braiding their hair and marching up the mountains and all this. And so what developed from that was just this gorgeous song of testimony. And what we have for you today is we have Macy and Chloe and Joey and Tristan that are bringing to you testimony through song. And before they sing, I just want to say that God has a way up on a cliff, 85 feet, rappelling down. Your kids would be up there, never being that high. And they would have to face their fears. Some of them, it didn't take very long at all. They just lay back and go for it. There are others that had to stay clipped in for 10, 15, 20, 30. I'm not saying any names, but they know who they are. Because just like we, Satan is in our ear, keeping us from being the person that we're meant to be. you're lonely. You're this. You're that. But then, when you tune in and dial in, he eventually says, let go. I've got you. Rappel down the mountain. Take on life. Be the person you're meant to be. And 85 feet on the bottom, life is good. So I hope you enjoy the voices of these young people just like I have. They have lifted me as we had testimony week on a Wednesday. And I gave my testimony of that loneliness that comes in life. And I'm so glad to say that I had three girls, youth girls, take me to the side and pray for me and speak truth. They are a blessing and a joy, and I thank them. And I even thank Joel and Travis and Trey for all the grief.
Isn't he wonderful? Sing. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. So just to get us where we're going here, I'll let you know we're going to have a couple of more students share in just a moment. I'm going to tell you about Mud Night at camp first, and then we'll have a couple more. And then we'll have a slideshow, and this is going to feel a little bit odd, but we are, after the slideshow, actually going ahead and dismiss the children for about a 5 to 10 minute little mini sermonette, just some things to share while they go off and do that. So let me tell you about Mud Night at camp, because this is really where things started getting real. And what happened was they took us out in the evening before evening worship to this giant field, and they had a huge tarp over here and a huge tarp over here, and they separated the junior high and high school students. And what would happen was this tarp was covered in mud, and they told the students, bring clothes that you can get ruined. So they knew something was going on, but they didn't know what it was. And what would happen is the leader would say, okay, if you have ever told a lie to your parents, then roll in the mud twice. Well, you see hundreds of teenagers and adults roll in the mud twice. And then they would say, okay, if you've ever cheated on a homework assignment at school, rub some mud on your face. So then they would all rub mud on their face and things like that. And then they went through probably 7 or 8 different sins, and then they brought everybody back together, and this time they separated everybody by gender, so girls over here and guys over there. And so I didn't go off on the girls' side. I don't know some of the things that they shared, but for the guys, they would say things like, hey, if you've ever viewed something that you knew you shouldn't have looked at, go ahead and jump in the mud again. And so all these guys are jumping in the mud. And if you've ever had thoughts that were not God honoring, go ahead and roll in the mud again. And so they're all rolling in the mud. Of course, they didn't know that when we left that, some of them got really, really into rolling in the mud. And then when we left that time, they didn't get to go shower right away. So now we have to go to evening worship covered in mud. And then we have to go to another activity still covered in mud. And matter of fact, we spent the rest of that evening till about midnight covered in mud. And it's this constant reminder of just how filthy sin makes us. You couldn't get away from it. I mean, some of them had mud that caked in their ears and, got into their armpits somehow. And, we won't go beyond that, but there was just mud everywhere. And one of our guys had just like a full-on mud mask on his face, And so you'll see some of that in the video later on, but it was during that time, we split again, guys and girls, and this is where we shared. What you're hearing some powerful things of kind of, this is where I was before, and this is where God is working in me right now. We got even deeper at camp, and we're not going to go to that depth here, because there's a certain level of trust that was developed at camp to share those things. But just know that, like, what you're hearing, there's even more going on in these students' lives, and they shared some real sins, and they shared some real struggles, and said, I had one of our students come up to me literally the next day. So this is how it's just not an emotional what was happening in that moment. He He came up to me the next day and he said, I've been struggling with this sin for so long. I'm sick and tired of it. Can you show me how to be free of this? You know, this is a young, you know, 11, 12, 13-year-old young man saying, please, I just need freedom from this sin. I don't want to carry this burden any longer. And so just to let you know about that, I'm going to ask now young Emily and young Chloe to come up. And they wanted to stand up here together and share a little bit of their story. I had the privilege, you guys saw the video, of baptizing this young girl at camp. So that was awesome.
So as y'all know, at camp, I was baptized. And that was probably the most incredible thing that has ever happened in my life. Afterwards, my eyes were opened completely. And I just felt closer to God. And once we went and shared our testimonies, I was really struggling to share. But as I saw everybody else sharing, and God was just calling me, you need to share this, you have to, because you've been putting it off for so long. So I finally shared, and I felt this relief and heavy weight off my shoulders, and it was the most incredible thing ever. And I felt the Lord touch my life, and it was amazing.
So this. Do we have any ladies that would like to come and pray and minister? You guys can just come right over here again. And if you'd like to pray and encourage young Chloe and young, I call her Emily. I guess her real name is Erin. I'll get that straight. So y'all can come right over here and pray with them and think. Travis wants to come up, and then after Travis shares, we'll dismiss the children for just a few minutes. We'll watch the video, I'll say a couple words, and we'll be done.
This will be quick. It's more like a word of encouragement. As Joel has already talked about the mud night and the importance and just the symbolism of that mud, you know, a lot of it was very uncomfortable.
I need to be louder.
Been told I need to be louder. A lot of that mud got very uncomfortable because in that mud were a bunch of rocks. And so when you're rolling around, it was nasty, it smelled, and we got really dirty. As you're going to see in the video here, there's a lot of picture of us, and some of us are smiling in it. And there is symbolism in that too, because a lot of times in our sin, we're having a lot of fun. Then after a while, you realize, hey, this isn't as much fun as I thought it was. Now I need to get cleaned up. And there's a lot of things where it gets really uncomfortable. And so you start brushing it off, but you're trying to brush it off with dirty hands too. It's not really working out very well. And even when you do think, hey, I got a lot of it cleaned up, somebody comes along and says, hey, you got a whole lot of mud stuck right here. And you're like, oh, I was used to that. I didn't even notice that it was there. And so it kind of makes me think of how, you know, in our own lives, we get used to a lot of sin in our lives. You know, some of us are comfortable with, you know, lying. Some of us are comfortable with just putting on a show when we come to church. And just all the different things that we just tend to keep to ourselves and think, hey, God doesn't need to get rid of this. We can hold on to this. And yet we see all these youth who are just dropping and feeling this relief. And here's where I want to encourage you as adults, as older elders of the church. You know, a lot of these kids shared, and they said they shared because our youth counselor that was there with us started off by sharing their testimony. And the adults shared this their testimony. And that encouraged them to say, hey, you know what? They're just like me. I can share what's going on in my life and allow God to work in my life and be accepted by these people who have been in the same place I have been. And so I want to encourage you to take time to share with either these young people, to just pour into the lives of others in this church, to share your testimony, because you never know where it may lead. Somebody else may need to hear that and know that, hey, I'm not alone. God loves me for who I am. And to experience that freedom of saying, if you've never experienced it, it is such a freeing thing to say, I've been carrying this sin with me for so long, and say, here it is. I don't want to carry it any longer. And so a lot of them experienced it. A lot of them came home and told their parents about it, and they will tell you how freeing it is. And so I wanted to encourage you in that, whether you have sinned or whether you just want to encourage the youth or anybody else in this church. Thank you.
Thank you, Travis. I'm going to ask Shannon Owens to go ahead and stand at the back. And children, we're going to go ahead and dismiss you for a few minutes. We're getting ready to play this slideshow. Travis also put the slideshow together for us. So, by the way, I tell everybody that everybody needs a Travis in their life. So I've got my Travis. And Julie says he's hers, but, you know, that's a different story. But Travis is just, he's a great teacher. He's a great friend. He does cool stuff with the video. So you're going to continue to see testimony in this video. And then we're going to share for a few minutes. And Travis stole a little bit of my thunder at the end. Don't think this is all about the students today. Okay, you're going to get an opportunity today to drop the show as well. I'm not going to ask you to come up and tell your story today. But you will have a time to respond to when you, maybe God's moving in you. And so as you are thinking about what you're hearing, as you're seeing this video, you know, now that I've said this, some of you might be like getting really uncomfortable in your seats right now. Embrace that discomfort and say, God, do you want, is there something that I need to deal with? But you will have a time at the end of us to what we would normally stay for a morning worship service. And if there's a reason that you need to leave, please feel free to do so. But I do want to share just a little bit more with y'all. And we haven't actually had a scripture verse yet this morning, so we might want to do that. So what's the big deal with dropping the show? What's the big deal? You keep talking about students that opened up, students that shared, students that confessed their sin with one another. Well, James chapter 5, I think it's around verse 19 or 20, it's where he's talking about if you are sick, you should have the elders in the church lay hands on you. You know, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And there's one key part in that little passage that doesn't often get dealt with, and that is the line where James says you need to confess your sins to one another in order that you may be healed. And so, and by the way, before I get too deep into this, I want to let Bob and Helen know that we only had to have two disciplinary actions with Becky while we were there, okay? So I told her she's going to call me out like that. I get to speak last. So we took care of Granny Beck while we were at camp, so... All right, but back to James chapter 5. Confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. There is so much power in that verse that we just gloss over. I think we don't understand it. I think it makes us uncomfortable. There's any number of reasons that we might do that. But let me just share a little bit of how I have experienced healing and how I've seen God work out healing in the lives of students over the years. And I've had students share things with me before. I want to let y'all know, this is the first time that this group, I've been here for 3 years again, and this is the first time that this group has really opened up in this way. And they said, look, we're getting there. We're dealing with sin. We are going to let this all out, and whatever happens, happens, but we're not going to hold on to this anymore. And so about 15 years ago, I shared some of my testimony, and Travis mentioned that our counselor shared. I know our guy counselor shared with the guys, and I know the girls counselor shared with them. And I'm not going to name names. None of that's going to happen, but I'll just share some general things that happened during our time. 15 years ago, why is it a big deal to confess our sins? Because 15 years ago, I stood up here, and I shared my story with this church. And I shared some personal struggles that I had had, struggles with being addicted to pornography. And that came out of, really, from the time I was an infant, being abused. And that was just a normal part of my childhood. And so then as I became a teenager and even a young adult, that was just normal for me. But it was destroying me. And so God gave me freedom from that. And then he also told me, now you've got to share with people the freedom that you experienced from that addiction. And so I shared that 15 years ago. And that was, even still to this day, the biggest response that I have ever had during like an altar call or an invitation or a time for people to come and say, hey, can you pray for me, or I'm struggling with this as well. In fact, we had an older gentleman in our church, and if you've been here for the last 15, 20 years, you would know this man. He's no longer here, but you would be shocked. This man and his wife came down to the front and said, Pastor, I'm so glad you shared about that struggle that you had. I am addicted to pornography as well. This guy's in his 80s, okay? And he's saying, I need you to minister to me. I need to get free from this sin. Would you please help me in that? And so he and I came up with a plan on how I could help hold him accountable to that. I had a mom that came forward that day, and she said, I'm so glad that you shared. I didn't know people talked about this stuff in church. She said, I have a son that's struggling with homosexuality, and I would like you to come and minister to my son and show him that there's a way out of this. And I had other people come forward as well and say, I want freedom from this. I've never had a response like that before then or since then. But I also had some people in the church that felt like I should have lost my job over sharing that. All right, Satan got stirred up. You know, there was freedom happening, and I wasn't thrilled to share this. It wasn't like I was saying, God, please, let me tell my story, you know. In fact, it was one of those, God said, tell your story, and I was begging him, please, no, you know. But that was, God had brought me through that, and obviously as soon as I shared and all these people came forward, I recognized why. And since then, I've shared that story with other people, and one of the things I share, you know, people say, well, you know, pastors can't struggle with that. Well, no, we shouldn't. But the reality is there was a Barna research study done just 2016. This isn't long time ago. This is very recent. 2016, 57% of pastors admitted to struggling with pornography. Guess how many of those pastors felt like they could share that struggle with members of their congregation? Less than 1%. Less than 1%. And so why is that? Why is it that, yes, we shouldn't struggle with it, right? Pastors, but the reality is at the end of the day, pastors are humans. If you struggle with something, your pastor has probably struggled with it. You know, if it's something that you've had a hard time with, you've got a pastor or you've got a leader in your life that's probably had a hard time with it as well. And less than 1% feels like, in other words, 99% feel like as a pastor, they have to put on a show every single Sunday and every single Wednesday and every single time they see you at the grocery store or at the football game or wherever they happen to run into you throughout life. It's just they can't open up and they can't share it. Well, I've shared my story with friends of mine from college. There's a group of us that gets together for lunch once a month, and we just talk about what's going on. And one of them, it was just two of us that was meeting at once at first, and I just shared with him how God had given me freedom that, and he turned around and told me how he had been struggling with it, and God used my testimony to help him get free. And then he invited me to come speak at his young adults group at his church, and what I talked to them about was the really cool thing that happened when I did share. Man, it wasn't fun. There was ministry that happened to people. There was some heat that I caught from it, but I can tell you, like I said, from an infant, sexual sin was a part of my life, whether it was somebody doing something to me or whether it was me viewing something I shouldn't view or whatever the case may be. So that was my whole life. And when I shared with the congregation of probably around 200 that Sunday morning, I physically did feel that burden lifted off of me. It was gone. And I'm not going to say, hey, I've got this thing beat and I don't ever have to worry about it again, because the minute I do that, Satan's got an opportunity to come and tempt me again. But I can tell you I haven't struggled with it since then. Because who of you can go and tell my wife something about me that she doesn't already know, right? If you guys go out in the town this week and you say, man, did you know Pastor Joel struggled with that? Well, yeah, he told us all, dummy. You know, like, there's nothing about my life that's hidden in darkness anymore. So why confess our sin with one another? Because when our sin is kept hidden, when it's kept secret, that's where Satan has power over our lives. That's why God makes a big deal about it. He's a God of light, and he's a God of peace, and Satan is an imitator of all that, and he wants everything hidden. The more that we hide from one another and the more that we try to hide from God, the more power and control Satan has over our lives. The more that it's not that we should be proud of what we've done, but the more that we're willing to just share it and deal with it. It's either going to hurt us a little bit for the entire course of our lives, or we're just going to like rip that Band-Aid off and let's get it done with, right? And let's just be real. I shared with that buddy of mine from college, and then he told me about his freedom. He invited me to speak to his young adults group. I gave him permission to share with other people, and almost on a yearly basis, I get reports from people saying, man, you know, this guy told me your story, or I heard this story from this guy, and I've received freedom from it. He invited another friend of ours to come to lunch. This other friend, and these are all pastors, right? We're all friends from college that we went to HBU together, so we're all pastors. And this other friend said, he told us at lunch, he said, I have struggled with this since I was 12 years old. So I've never told anybody. I've never told my parents, never told my wife, never told any church I've ever served at. And he said, but Holy Spirit's convicted me of this. I've got to get this off my chest. So he told us. He went home and he told his wife. She almost left him over it, but she decided to be gracious and appreciated him coming clean. He told his pastor. He went to some very intensive counseling. Now he's serving as a missionary overseas. You know, God has called him to do even bigger and better things. What if he had never shared, or what if when he shared, the church had said, no, you can't do that. You know, we got to fire you now. You can't serve anymore. You know, these are some things that we run into. Well, there were several of our young men that are struggling with these things. There were several of our young women that are struggling with their value, with what kind of self-image they have, being ashamed of what they look like on the outside, or placing all of their value on their outward appearance. By the way, is it a sin to be ashamed of your appearance? If we're made in the image of God and we're judging our own image, I think that's just as much a sin as anything else. And they're struggling, but they let these things out. One of the themes that developed between our guys and the girls was, over and over again, they say, you know, I just feel like I don't belong in this group. I feel isolated. Even though we have this group of 30 students here, I feel like I don't fit in with everybody else. And I said, raise your hand if you feel like that. And over half of our group raised their hand. And I won't do it right now, but I bet if I was to ask the congregation this morning, raise your hand if you come here and sometimes feel like you don't belong, and if you were being honest, I bet a lot of hands in this room would go up as well. And why is that? Because we're so busy putting on a show. Because we don't really know who each other are. Because we haven't dealt with our sin. And so God's doing some big things in our church. He's doing some
big things in our students. We had an awesome breakfast this morning. Blake mentioned Eric's new Sunday school class is getting ready to start. We're getting ready to start a new junior high class over there. October, we're going to start a sanctuary class. God's moving. God's wanting to do some things in us, but God...
could use prayer and encouragement. If you want to come and grab one of them and bring them to the altar. That was their invitation in their song, Oh Come to the Altar. Mm-hmm. So you can take them up on that as well. But let me pray and then we'll open it up. Father God, thank you again for who you are. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that, God, even though you are the ultimate judge, God, you choose to defer that judgment. And while we're here, you choose to just embrace us and to allow us to come and just confess our sins and to get honest with you. And when we do so, you just wrap us up tight in your arms and you tell us how much you love us and how much we mean to you. God, I pray that you would continue the work that you started at camp in our